It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Kyle from the Grange Barber. How are you, man?
Oh, fair to middling, Dave. Fair to middling.
Have you had all your shots? Are you all up to date? Have you followed enough toilet paper? Are you good to go?
You know what? I had a few shots the other weekend. I hadn't had any business yet.
That's perfect. Yeah. Well, we got a story we're going to talk about. Kyle, you need to bring that up at our roundtable. People need to be really worried about speaking of shots, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you, man?
Doing well. I hope you guys are.
Okay.
I'm just right out. I'm actually away from home. I'm here in Kannapolis by the new Kannapolis, Intimidators ballpark, the Kannapolis Cannonballers Stadium. It was scheduled to debut in the first home game. I think it's April 16th or 17th, but we'll see if that happens.
What are you doing out in Kannapolis?
Just getting a little exercise. Had to get out of the house.
Stacy kicked him out of the house. What? That's his wife, for folks.
Stacy wants him to stay safe. She probably didn't want him to go anywhere. I can see it. So, Bubba, are you out there walking? Are you walking at the ballpark?
Right. Yeah. Just walking, and then I'll jog some as well.
Yeah.
And do a podcast at the same time. So he's a multitasker, Kyle.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Trying like a couple years ago, Brian Flynn, who's the head coach of North Davidson High School. He did an entire 10-minute interview with us while he was jogging. Why, I don't know, but we appreciated him coming on, and it was it made for an interesting interview.
Yeah, that was the first time that we've ever had that, and the only time we've had someone exercising and doing the – he was speaking of multitasking, he was doing that, so.
Yeah, speaking of out there, everybody's looking for their sports fix, and we'll give it to them today with East Carolina, his women's basketball coach, Coach McNeil, will be joining us later in the podcast.
Yes, we appreciate them. And one of the things, what's funny about our situation is I wanted to address this, guys, and we'll get in our roundtable, is I've had several people ask me if the podcast is going to continue. And they said, they looked at me and they said they were worried. And I said, why are you worried? They said, well, you don't have anything to talk about now for your podcast for ECU. I was like, we've got plenty of stuff to talk about. And if you know the three guys, especially Bubba, he's talking more. But Kyle and David, we can talk about soft drinks. We can talk about anything. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we can talk about. And I promise you, folks.
Soft drinks, objective.
Yeah, exactly. We can we can be objective about that. But there's so much you can talk about. But the podcast will continue. We're going to continue to do that. We've got a whole bunch of stuff planned. And we already, Bubba, bring you in. You know this. We were talking about, I believe, yesterday. We were planning on doing a whole bunch of stuff anyway, and it's kind of like your summer schedule has moved up some. And this is like whenever a substitute teacher comes in, it's a little bit, things a little bit off the rails, but not to the point of where we're going to shut down the podcast. So as long as the guys want to do the podcast, we'll continue to do the podcast, and we're going to have fun. So. And this actually is probably, if people are having to stay home, they can listen more to us, right, guys? This is a time when we can really shine and up our game.
Yeah, I guess. you know, if you want a sports fix, we're going to try to give it to you. We're going to try to have sports guests on. They ain't got nothing else to do. Might as well talk to us.
That's right. And speaking of which, guys, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and I know we have some national stuff, is about the coaches. Can you imagine? And we'll talk to Kim McNeil, and she was with us. We normally have coaches on for a segment or so, and she was so nice to us. And one of the reasons that I think she enjoyed talking to us, we gave her something to do, because right now they can't recruit off campus. They can still recruit as far as electronically anyway, but as far as anything else, they can't really leave. They can be on campus in their office, as John Gilbert said on Friday afternoon, or they can work from home. He gave them that option. So,
and during that interview, Dave, she pointed out that she hoped the NCAA went ahead and made it across the board where nobody was allowed to recruit, because she wasn't, and they did. Soon thereafter, maybe even the same later that day, I believe it was later that day, that the NCAA announced that it was the recruiting dead period. So glad glad to see that. It made things equal for everybody.
No doubt about it. We're going to try to keep everybody entertained as best as possible. That's what we do anyway. And so business as usual. Guys, Bubba, I know that you've got a lot of topics you want to talk about in our roundtable. Before we get to Coach, where do you want to start?
Let's start with basketball and what you'd expect to be talking about this time of the year. However, instead of March Madness, it is about Rick Pitino getting back into the college game. He has been over in Greece in the EuroLeague, and so it was announced, I guess, last night that he's going to be returning to the NCAA Division I ranks with Iona, the Iona Gaels out of New Rochelle, New York. Iona is a program that has a lot of tradition, a lot of success, and their coach had to step down. Tim Clues, he stepped down due to health reasons, and those health reasons were undisclosed. But he had had an awful lot of success there. They did have a losing season this year, but that was the only losing season they had in, I believe, 10 years under his leadership. And they had been to the NCAA tournament, I think, six times, a couple of NITs, and also, I think, a CIT. So this is the first year that they had not been to the postseason under his watch.
I have a trivia question for you guys. What famous coach actually coached there at Iona, who later came to an ACC school? If I tell you the school he went to,
I know it. I'll let Kyle go first.
Okay, since you know it, you'll let me go first.
I'll give you three words that'll give it away.
I just want to give you a shot.
Don't
give him those.
Okay, North Carolina State.
Yeah, Jimmy Valvano. So Rick Pitino is going there. It's a good school, and I know he'll do well. And what do you think, guys? Should he be allowed back in coaching? How do you feel about it? I don't care either way, to be honest.
Well, he's been such a slime ball throughout his whole career. The Adidas stuff up at Louisville was the latest. He's been kind of a slime ball everywhere he's been.
What about all the hookers and stuff, right?
Well, you know what else?
You don't have a problem with the hookers?
A man's going to be a man. I don't know the story with the hookers. Was he getting them as recruiting tools for players, or was he getting them for himself?
It was one of those things where it could be, I don't know all the details.
One of his assistants.
We're doing it, so I don't know how much you knew.
For the players, for recruits?
Right, recruits.
Well, I mean, that's kind of sleazy. If you're talking about his own personal time, I don't give a damn what he does. But if it's involving recruits, no. I mean, chances are most parents don't want their 18-year-old high school senior to be, having sex with an escort on a recruiting visit. So, no, I have a problem with that, of course, but I remember the scandal from a few years ago where he was caught with the waitress in the restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he, I really don't care what he does on his personal time, but he is representing a university.
Right.
You know what you're getting with Rick Pitino? You're going to get a guy who's going to win a lot of basketball games, but you're going to get some personal baggage. Should he be allowed back in college sports? I don't know. I guess so.
Somebody felt like they should, right? With that
well,
one,
what's
I guess,
funny
really
is takes... he's been allowed back in. My brain's not working, guys. Up at Liberty,
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze, he was cheating at Ole Miss and then got called with that he was contacting escorts for personal use. And my biggest problem with Hugh Freeze was he came across as a fake Bible thumper. He was always showing and saying what a Christian he was, and then he's using escorts and reportedly, had some recruiting violations. And Liberty, what a shock, hires him as their football coach, and he's back in coaching. And, that's fine. Pitino's back in coaching now. He got hired down at a FCS school, Missouri State.
Wait a minute.
It seems they're letting everybody back into coaching except Art Briles. For whatever reason, that's the one guy. I know he's back in high school coaching, but for whatever reason, Art Briles is the one guy who's being blackballed And, you know, I'm not convinced how much he knew was going on down at Baylor. There's a lot of rumors that it was the administration above him that was hiding in that stuff, that he was more or less the scapegoat. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, what do you guys think of Art Briles? Should he be allowed back into college coaching?
That's one I've debated. I'll be honest. That one, the Hugh Freeze, I mean, even the Hugh Freeze thing, you know, like, to me, I think he's going to be great at Liberty, and he's going
to
put
the bowl game his first year. Really
yeah.
easy schedule, but he took him to a bowl game.
Yeah, but as far as Briles, I mean, I don't know. I think one of the things is that the whole Me Too thing has been very – that the movement has been tricky because you would think that the as far as Me Too, that – the Hugh Freeze thing would be where he couldn't get back in.
Well, not really.
But I think that the difference
really,
is maybe.
Well, the Hugh Freeze were sleeping with were completely willing. That had nothing to do with Me Too.
Right, right. I'm just saying that, well, in some respects, but not to the extent of.
Well, none. It had nothing to do with Me Too. None at all. None. What Hugh Freeze was doing was between two consenting adults. It was illegal because the girl was getting paid for it. But was it anything to do with Me Too? No, absolutely not. Whereas what happened with Art Briles, while he didn't directly do anything, it was players taking advantage of young ladies, and those were the allegations. And supposedly Art was part of covering it up. And that, I think, is where, because the word rape was used, I think
right.
That's where
right. That's what I was.
It gets
that was
tricky
lovely.
for Coach Briles. Bob, what do you think?
It's one of those things, as far as Art Briles is concerned, you'd really like to have more information and
right.
and just know more is just what exactly did he know. And I can certainly see why schools would be very hesitant to hire him as they have been, and why you had situations like what you had down at Southern Miss where the administration shot that down before it really had a chance to materialize.
Yeah, and you know what? That was stupid to me because he was going to be an offensive coordinator. He wasn't going to be the head coach. I think
he was just,
I think
and he was going to be just a what was it a coordinator?
Yeah, he was just
yeah the OC.
Am I not coming in clear? He was going to be the offensive coordinator before he was going to be not the head coach. So the thing about that is if you're USM. You're struggling financially big time, we even more so than East Carolina. And the new Conference USA has just been a disaster for them financially. And you bring in Art Briles in there, I would have taken the heat. I would have taken whatever heat I got just to win at the level they would have won with him running their offense. I mean, he's not running the program. He's not in charge of anything but running the offense. They would have – look, let me tell you something. With the defense USM had this year, if Art Briles would have been running their offense, they would have probably won 10 games.
Yeah, but, and that's the thing, the tricky situation is.
And their new OC, I like their new OC. They hired Louisiana Monroe's offensive coordinator. The guy who was there this year is gone. But anyway, that's Southern Miss football. Though. We're talking about coaches.
No doubt. We need to definitely keep in mind about another issue that's come up. I'm happy to see. Hopefully the NCAA will not screw it up, and that is eligibility for the spring sports. And they're looking into – I think the tricky thing for them, I think the spring sports will be a little bit easier. My concern is what are they going to do about the basketball people, because you've got basketball guys who didn't get a chance to play conference tournaments, and, of course, the NCAA, which would be this week.
I don't know. Kim McNeil kind of indicated in that interview there's going to be some schools that, you know, can't afford it. And there's going to be some situations where people want to bring in new players and they don't have so many scholarships. So that'll be interesting how that all plays out. Bubba, you were talking about not only the seniors, should everybody get an extra year of eligibility?
That's where for me.
All right, it was Dave. One of you guys were talking about it.
Yeah, according to what I saw, and I think it's going to be everybody, but a lot of those logistics and stuff are, of course, still being worked out. So we'll see how that goes. And Kendall Rogers with D1 Baseball, that's what he put some stuff out there. He obviously didn't specify the coach, but he's just talking about, depending on how this is done, this is something that could it could really be a interesting show for sure.
Especially what I was thinking about. Can you imagine as far as some schools won't be able to afford it, but some schools can. But then you get to the thing I thought about. If you're East Carolina and you have these guys, some of the guys are going to leave. They're not going to be here anyway, which that's a problem. If we don't get a season, I'm hoping, I'll talk about in just a second what I'm hoping for. I don't think it's going to happen. Bubba doesn't know it, but I told Kyle yesterday. But for me personally, I was thinking about there's a lot of guys are not getting any playing time or very little. And then you've got another class coming in. Maybe you could talk about how deep you're going to be. But I'm hoping the best case scenario will be that we can have sometime in April a shortened season where we miss a few weeks and then you can maybe do some conference games and then the conference tournament and, of course, the College World Series. My idea for Pirate Nation, by the way, I told Kyle yesterday, my hope is that this is just based on hearing about, like, with Major League Baseball, and my son, the last day legally they can practice is today, being Sunday, this afternoon, when we're recording this. But I'm hoping that we would have a decision in the next couple weeks where they would say, okay, you can give them a chance to practice a week or so. And then how cool would it be, Bubba, because Kyle knows where I'm going with this, to start the season back with the game with UNC Wilmington on April 14th at the Wood Ducks at Granger Stadium. The last game you played was a walk-off at the very end. You want to talk about people that are going to be fired up for baseball. It helps out the Wood Ducks. That would be phenomenal if that could be pulled off. I don't know if it can, if it will, but I'm hoping that something like that where you start back in the middle of April, it'll give them a chance to have some conference games. But for us, start at April 14th.
If possible. Yeah. Man, it'd be great.
It'd certainly be starting back with a bang, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just thinking about it and just generally speaking, you're talking about just how people will be fired up. I mean, whether it's baseball, or let's say this thing doesn't allow spring sports to get started back.
Oh, God.
Hopefully that won't be the case, but say that again.
So when football starts, good God.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be so much pent-up energy and emotion that season opener against Marshall will be even a bigger spectacle.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking if we don't get spring sports back or whatever, you know, or the NBA doesn't get restarted, who knows, you know. If MLB starts up, let's say, in July, there'll be more people watching Major League Baseball than ever before. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows how long the thing's going to drag out. Maybe a month from now we're getting back to normal. Maybe a month from now we're just getting to the worst part. But you don't know. I've seen a lot of speculation that about 3 weeks from now will be the peak. But you don't know.
Now, guys, as far as I guess maybe the only thing I can really think to compare it to in that regard, as far as the emotion and the energy that you would see from the fans. Now, obviously, in 1999,
right?
The Pirates had won. They were undefeated going into that game with Miami, so it was going to be a raucous atmosphere no matter what. But just the way people showed up for that game in those circumstances, I think it'd be something similar just as far as all the emotion.
Well, we would also be undefeated against Marshall.
Right.
I really believe that it's going to be emotionally whenever these sports, comes back. People that don't care about sports, they're probably loving it. I got my damn TV. I got my CSI back on CBS now. But for those of us that love sports, it reminds you how much sports means to you.
Hey, I got something to throw out at you guys.
Okay.
With college basketball going on hiatus, with NBA going on hiatus, with NHL going on hiatus, and NASCAR deciding to go on hiatus, are you guys surprised that the XFL didn't just decide to play in empty stadiums and be just a television event? I thought
about that.
But I think with them trying to grow the league and their crowds being small anyway, had they just went to an empty stadium and played football, I wonder what the ratings would have been like for the XFL. They would have been getting all the attention. I'm surprised McMahon didn't do that.
It's kind of like what we were talking about, guys, as far as NASCAR. I know you and I discussed it, Kyle, and I also heard it discussed on Pirate Radio, just as far as just when NASCAR and the ratings having been bad and so forth. It was a little surprising. That's something that I guess they were more fearful of what could be than the willingness to capitalize on that. Attempt to capitalize on it.
You know what, though? NASCAR, even with those fans, has so many more people that it takes to, you're still talking about hundreds and hundreds of people, whereas the XFL would have been a fraction of the amount of people. With all the, I mean, you got 42 cars on the track typically, and then you got pit crews. I don't know how many people are in pit crews these days. 12, but I mean, you got everybody's got a pit crew, and then there still would have been hundreds of people at that racetrack.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that everybody's trying to do the right thing, and hopefully this will be a shutdown of 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. I'm hoping that's the case, and then we'll get back to normal and then move on. I think that's the thing. Do you guys want to go to our interview, by the way?
Sure.
Yeah, we caught up with Kim McNeil, the first-year head coach. Actually just wrapped up her first season with East Carolina women's basketball. And let's go to that conversation right now.
Well, Bubba, we have tough times right now in the sports world, especially ECU, but we're tickled to death to have one of our favorite coaches on.
Absolutely. About a week ago, the East Carolina women's basketball season came to an end, but I'm very excited right now to reflect on her first season at the helm. Welcome into the show, Coach Kim McNeil.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Coach. I know it's tough times right now. We're just talking about the sports world, but we wanted to have you on to talk about the season that was. Speaking of adversity, a lot of that's the team I know Bubba and I talked about yesterday getting ready for this interview with your season. But the good news is I really think your ladies, you and your staff, y'all really handled adversity extremely well considering all things, even before what we're dealing with right now with the coronavirus.
You know, I would agree. Obviously the season didn't go as expected. You know, I would have never imagined a 9-win season. I've never been a part of a 9-win season. And so this was new for everybody, you know, new for the players, new for the coaching staff, and I think we all grew. I know I definitely grew, you know, as a coach and learning how to deal with so much adversity and just continuing to believe in something, continuing to believe in, you know, on a day-to-day basis that we are going to get better and that this is truly about the future of this program.
That belief, the hard work you and your staff put in and the foundation you laid was evident because after the first 2-plus months of the season being so trying, your ball club was able to win, 6 games in the final month-plus of the season and 5 in the month of February.
Yeah, you know, had some key injuries early, you know, before the season even started with, you know, Justice going down for us. You know, hopefully, you know, she was a veteran coming back with some experience. You know, I think she would have helped us. And then, you know, 4 games into the season, losing Raven Johnson, you know, that was huge. You know, I think just having Raven throughout the season, I am fully in belief that we would have won more than 9 games. But, you know, what can you do? There's nothing you can do about it. And so, you know, I always tell the kids we're going to take every situation and we're going to find the good out of it. And the good that came out of it was a lot of young kids got some valuable minutes that they probably would not have gotten if we would have had a, you know, a full roster. And so, you know, our motto every day in practice was we're just going to get better. And, you know, I have an unbelievable coaching staff that brought energy every single day. we found a way to continue to push them, but also motivate them as well. And I think you guys start to see that around February, because that's when we're definitely playing our best basketball.
Coach, one of the things, I was speaking of adversity, I know that you had a personal matter that you had to deal with, and I just want to say the only reason I bring that up is your husband, Corey, and the coaching staff. I was so proud of them. You never know how, when a head coach steps away, how a team's going to react. And it was just to see that video in the locker room after the ladies won that game. It was just, it was awesome.
You know, I had two deaths this year, one in November, and then with my uncle passing away in February. And, you know, the November one didn't cause me to have to miss anything, but, you know, it was very hard for me to step away and miss practice and miss games. But, you know, we are truly a family, and my family at home called on me. And, you know, my uncle was like a second father to me, so there was no way I could have seen myself not being there. But I felt good about it because I knew that I had an unbelievable coaching staff. You know, Corey is a head coach himself, so I knew they wouldn't miss a beat. And then just having the support of John Gilbert and all the administration back. You know, John texted me at 12 o'clock that day and said, you know, you're where you're supposed to be. So when you get that support from your administration, it's like, you know what, you have no doubts, you have no worries, and it just better, you know, solidified to me that I'm where I'm supposed to be. You know, being here at East Carolina is where I'm supposed to be.
Coach, you talked about some of the unfortunate incidents that occurred, like the loss of Raven Johnson very early on.
Yep.
For the majority of the season, we only had eight players at our disposal, and four freshmen and a sophomore in those eight. One of those returners that you had that was extremely proven was LaShonda Monk, and what a year she had. She set the ECU single season and career mark for steals, and she still has another season to play, and she also broke the American Conference record as well. So just talk about her production, and then just as a team, the way, and you guys obviously want to get after it on defense, and you rank second nationally in turnovers forced.
You know, speaking of adversity again, you know, Raven Johnson, not only losing her to an injury, you know, she lost her father as well, too. So, you know, our team went through a lot this year. We had some other deaths with some other team members, you know, uncles and things of that nature. So, you know, we went through a lot. But, yeah, what can I say about LaShonda and the year she had? I mean, she broke so many records this year, I can't even keep count. And like you said, she's just a junior, so she's got three more years to go. And, you know, we were able to be, you know, second in the nation in steals, second in the nation in steals per game, second in the nation in forced turnovers, and I think fourth in the nation in turnover margin with eight players and sometimes seven, and very young players that still don't completely understand our system. And we were very we didn't even put everything in, guys. We got a lot more that we got to put in. And so I look at it, and I'm like, wow, we were able to do that with this team. What is it going to look like next year when we have a full roster, we have some experience coming back? You know, I'm just extremely excited, and I hope we got Pirate Nation excited, you know, around February, showing them some glimpses of who we could be and who we're going to be.
And, Coach, for our listeners who may not have realized it, LaShonda Monk was named second team All-AAC, and then she was the first player, if I saw correctly, I believe Ronnie Woodward of the Daily Reflector tweeted this out, but she was the first player that was not a UConn Husky to be named the AAC's Defensive Player of the Year.
And the first player in ECU women's basketball history, you know, to be named Defensive Player of the Year. And you know, that just makes us as coaches proud, because that's who we are, you know. So when you're able to see the fruits of your labor, you know, really show, and our kids get, you know, acknowledged for who we are, I think that just builds more confidence in them, and that just, you know, makes us, you know, even more proud as coaches.
And, Coach, one of the things that just came to mind is the fact that these ladies over the last two seasons have had a lot of adversity, having three head coaches last year. Then you come in, you do a nice job, you're thinking you're on a roll, then you have the unfortunate part of sports we don't like. One of the things is injuries, and then the way that they finished. I mean, it's great to see that the future is very bright with your program.
It is, and like I said, I am extremely excited for next year. I think the girls are too. You know, we've got, you know, some kids that were sitting out that are definitely going to help us, and Sierra DaCosta, you know, who came with us from Hartford. And then we got some young ladies coming in. And then obviously Justice G will, you know, be back with us. So, you know, we got a lot of, you know, valuable playing time coming back. We got some kids that are learning the system and getting better at it. And obviously Sierra DaCosta knows it. So, you know, I don't, you know, want to try to predict the future, but, you know, I'm extremely excited, you know, for next year and for this offseason, because I think we got some hungry kids in that locker room.
Coach had a freshman like Kenaya Thompson, and Kenaya was playing nearly 35 minutes as a freshman. You talked about the benefit that will play moving forward. And then you had someone like Dominique Clater coming off an injury where she had a medical red shirt in the 18-19 season. She had a pretty productive year, averaging 7-6.
You know, I really don't know if people really realize how young we were. You know, four freshmen, Tierra Chambers, who didn't play at all or didn't score a point at all her freshman year. So this was really her freshman year. You know, you talk about Dominique Clater, who didn't play last year because of an injury, but she also didn't play a lot her freshman and sophomore year, guys. You know, so you're talking about six kids right there that didn't touch the floor last year didn't have a lot of minutes. So, you know, we were probably one of the, as far as experience, probably the one of the youngest teams in the country. And Tania Thompson, you know, just as LaShonda Monk, you know, what can I say about her? But it doesn't surprise me. You know, we've known Tania ever since we were at Hartford. We recruited her there, tried to get her to come there, and she decided to go elsewhere. So, you know, when this job opened up and, you know, her coach at Rhode Island got let go, and, you know, the NCAA rules allows any incoming freshman to be able to get out of the NLI when their head coach leaves, you know, when she decided to come here with us, I knew she was going to be special. She loves the game. And not only does she love the game, she loves the process. And when I talk about the process, I'm talking about, you know, getting in the gym when your coaches aren't looking, doing all the extra things, staying after practice, getting in practice early, going in on weekends. She just loves the process. And, you know, it was no surprise to me the success she had this year with her freshman year. And I think she's going to be an even better sophomore, and not necessarily because of the experience that she got, but I think she's going to be a better sophomore because she won't have to log so many minutes. And I know at times, you know, her shooting percentage wasn't great, but, you know, sometimes, you know, like you said, she's playing 38, 39 minutes a game, where I think when we can get her down to about 30 minutes a game, I think she'll be an even better player.
And, Coach, when the way she was playing, I know it sounds cliche, but I had to remind myself that she was a freshman.
Just a freshman.
She was playing more like she was like maybe a junior. I couldn't believe it.
But it was because she's prepared herself, guys. Like, when I tell you, at times I used to have to tell her to get out of the gym. I had to kick her out, go take care of your body, go get some rest. You just played, you know, two or three games this week at 38, 39 minutes a game. Like, I literally had to kick her out of the gym. You know, so hard work pays off. And literally hard work is paying off for her.
Coach, I had a question. This is Kyle, by the way. I'm late
Kyle.
To the show here. I apologize.
That's okay.
I had a big picture question, and I don't know if it was touched on at all before I got on the line, but and when I say big picture, I mean across all the college athletics. With the cancellation of the men's and women's tournament, obviously WNIT canceled, and all spring sports, baseball, softball, et cetera, what are your thoughts and feelings on these kids that are not getting to compete for a championship for their senior year across all college sports, getting an extra year of eligibility?
You know, my heart goes out to them. It really does. Because this is what you work for. You know, when you talk about the NCAA championship, this is what you talk about. This is what you work for, to be able to play in it, to be able to compete for a championship. You know, and there's been lots of talks about it. You know, will there be waivers? Will they, you know, allow these seniors to get an extra year? And it'll be interesting. You know, do they give all seniors across the board, you know, the year? Even if you weren't, you know, a player, or if you weren't competing for a championship, you know, I don't know. Also, it'll come down to funding. You know, some of the smaller schools, you know, will they be able to fund two or three kids, which meaning in women's basketball, let's say you had three seniors and they give those seniors an extra year. Well, if you've already used all your scholarships, then that pushes you to 18 scholarships. You know, some of these smaller schools can't afford that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But I'm sure there'll definitely be some coaches, you know, lobbying for it and trying to get these waivers to get these seniors another year.
Coach, in the short term, I'll just talk about, obviously, John Gilbert will be meeting with the media here in less than 2 hours, addressing everything that's going on with the coronavirus. So just talk about what you know now and how this will impact you and your staff in the short term and just moving forward.
you know, they, you know, obviously the university doesn't, they, you know, don't want people on campus, you know, so they want us to, you know, kind of work remotely, you know. Right now with our players, you know, being on spring break, you know, everything that we do, you know, can be done from home, whether it's over the phone, whether it's FaceTime, you know, the way technology is right now. You know, we've been limited to where we can't do any on or off campus recruiting, which is, it's going to be tough. You know, this is a big year for us recruiting wise because we could have 6 scholarships, you know, for the 21 class. So for us not to be able to get out, I had things planned all next week, all the week after. You know, so it's going to hurt in a lot of ways recruiting-wise. I really would like to see the NCAA come out with a rule across the board that nobody can go out and recruit, that, you know, these next 2 weeks or so is a dead period when nobody can come out, so everybody's playing on the even playing field. So it's definitely going to hurt recruiting. You know, this is crazy. This is like a movie. I never thought we would see our country in the state that it's in right now, but every decision that's being made is the right decision that's being made to, you know, for the safety of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely, and I second what you're saying about the NCAA. Things need to be equal for everybody. I was talking about that with spring practice for football. If some schools aren't going to have spring practice, the NCAA needs to make it where no one's having spring practice.
Yeah.
Obviously, the same should go for recruiting and men's and women's basketball.
Yeah, because we can't, you know, we were told this morning, you know, no practicing, no nothing here until told, you know, otherwise. And, you know, obviously that's an advantage if some other schools are allowing that to happen, you know, and we aren't, you know. So I hope that the NCAA will once again do the right thing and just say across the board, you know, they don't want anything to be done.
On the recruiting front, Coach, what can you tell us about newcomers for next season?
Oh, yeah, so my newcomers, yeah, they are completely bought in. They are ready to be here. They are extremely excited. Got some really good kids coming in as far as, you know, just all around good kids academically, hard workers, you know, kids we've been able to spend a little bit more time on in the recruiting process to get to know them. You know, another kid from Connecticut coming in, we call her Tay-Tay, Alexia Rose. She'll be a combo, hopefully get more minutes out of her at the point, you know, so that we can sit Monka down a little bit and save her body and not have her playing 38, 39 minutes a game. But Alexia is a scorer. She can shoot the three. She can get to the rim. She can shoot a pull-up. Got a nice frame, maybe an inch or two taller than Monk, but a good, strong frame. We've known her for a while. Obviously, when we were at Hartford, her high school was, we could throw a rock from Hartford to her high school. And so we've known, and she's got that dog in her. We like to say that, you know, to play the style that we play, you got to have some toughness with you. You got to have a dog. It's got to be somebody you want to go to war with. And she's definitely going to be one of those kids. Morgan Mosley, a young lady out of Maryland, about 6'6", guard forward, can play multiple positions for us. Just a blue collar kid. She's going to take charges. She's going to rebound. She's a lefty. She can shoot the three. You know, she can get to the rim, really strong frame, can play multiple positions in our defense. But just a kid that can cause some matchup problems, because when we've got her at the four, she's versatile enough where she can beat most fours off the dribble. If we've got her at the three, she's big enough where she can post you up. So she's going to be a good piece for us. And then Kayla Morrison, a 6'2 post player, originally out of New York, but has spent her senior year at Montverde Academy in Florida, which is very much known for their men's basketball program, but has a good women's basketball program as well. Another very versatile kid, can shoot the three, can put it on the floor, very skilled, very, very skilled, smart player that can do a lot of different things for us and really control us and run the offense through that pinch spot, you know, dribble handoffs, backdoor cuts, and cause some mismatch problems there as well. A kid that was very highly recruited early in her career, but then tore her ACL her junior year. And, you know, before that happened, she was getting looks from Maryland, all Power 5 schools. And then, you know, sometimes when you get an injury, schools will drop off of you. But we stayed in there, and we won the battle at the end of the day. And then Sania Johnson, another kid out of Maryland, ultra quick, ultra athletic, very, very, very good in transition. She actually probably should be a track star, but completely fits our defensive mentality. Quick hands, very, you know, with her and Monk and Sierra and those guys out there next year, you know, I'm hoping that our steals and turnover goes up, you know, 2 to 3 levels, because we're going to really have some quickness out there and, you know, some guards that can really cause some havoc. And you may see a little bit more full court man pressing from us next year, because we're going to have the athleticism to be able to do that. So extremely excited about these four guys. I think they're going to come in and really fit a role and really be able to allow us to have more depth.
Coach, speaking of newcomers coming in and then recruiting in general, how was the quality of high school basketball, of women's high school basketball in North Carolina?
You know, it's not bad. You know, the best areas, obviously Charlotte, you know, the Raleigh-Durham area has some good kids. And I'll be honest with you, Greenville has some really good young kids. And when I say young, 8th and 9th, 10th graders. So, you know, this crop of coming up in the next 2 years are going to be some kids that, you know, already have some Power 5 looks right here in Greenville. And we're doing everything we can, you know, and hopefully Pirate Nation can get behind us and help convince some of these young kids, you know, that are getting these Power 5 looks to stay here and help ECU, you know, become a powerhouse and be a household name. Because if we can convince some of these kids to stay here, you know, watch out. You know, there's some really, really good kids. So, you know, we're hoping that, you know, we can get them to stay at home.
Coach, a follow-up question I had, you were talking about obviously a significant increase in depth going into next season. And that's one of the things, the record we were talking about earlier with what this year's club did defensively with the lack of depth and the youth. And that made it all the more impressive. And kind of getting back to a question I had about LaShonda Monk, there's so many things that goes into being that productive, but just talk about, I mean, not only her work ethic, the aggressiveness, just the willingness to get after it playing defense, but the anticipation, studying the scouting report and instincts and how all those things tie into producing that type of steel smart.
You know, I think I told you this, you guys this here early in the year, you know, we can play 9 to 11 kids. Now, I'm not telling you that 11, you know, that maybe 9 through 11 is playing the same minutes as, you know, the 6th, 7th, and 8th coming off the bench. But if we can get to a point where you look at that stat sheet at the end of the night, we've played 9 to 11 people, that benefits us tremendously. Because we weren't able to put in our full system this year just because of the lack of bodies, you know. And the amount of stuff that we do is probably very unusual. It's probably more so what you see on the offensive standpoint, where teams are running tons of different sets and quicks and all of that stuff. And, you know, it really takes 2 or 3 years to really get really comfortable in our system. And that's kind of where we were in our third year at Hartford, where we could yell out one word and our kids will make a quick adjustment to the press, or we would yell out one word and they would make a quick adjustment to our half-court defense. And so it takes time to do that. And we were able to play more man. We were able to switch up things more than we were able to do here this year. But I really feel like, you know, we can do that next year, switch up things. You'll see probably more full-court pressing. You know, you might see more, you know, of our 1-2-2 full court dropping back into a man, more different things after timeouts, more different things after free throws, you know, and it's really, really hard to prepare for. And, you know, with Monk, you know, Monk just has things you can't teach. And it's very seldom that you sit down and you talk to a kid and she says she loves defense. And she does, and she'll tell you she loves getting steals, and she just, you know, goes out every night, and that's her intentions. Now, sometimes we have to reel her back in because she gets out of position and it opens up the floor, you know, but I'll take having to reel somebody back in than having to try to teach them that intensity and just that tenacity that she has, because it's hard to teach somebody that. Either you got it or you don't, and she definitely has it.
I really enjoyed the video that ECU Athletics put out there, congratulating LaShonda on the record, and I thought it was very well done, with some obviously comments from you and your coaching staff, and then her teammates.
Guys, I'm telling you, I have an unbelievable staff, and I'm not just saying that. You know, we spend a lot of time together off the court. You know, we spend a lot of time together, you know, in the office, out of the office, eating dinner. They come over to the house just last Tuesday, well, this past Tuesday, you know, now that the season's over, we're going back to Taco Tuesdays. You know, some staff comes over to my house, you know, for dinner. But, you know, we have a really, really good chemistry. And my video coordinator, Andrew Yates, he's the one, all that stuff you see off of ECU women's basketball, he's the one that produces that. And he's special. And he was so excited for that piece that he put out on Monk. And he, you know, that was one of his favorite pieces that he did all year. But I thought it was a really good tribute to her and what she's done for us this year and just for the program in general.
Coach, obviously you want to compete against the best, but with Connecticut leaving the conference, obviously, it seems to make the thing more wide open and give everybody more of a chance to compete at the top of the league for the championship. Does that excite you? I mean, to see maybe it's more realistic to build to try to win the championship, or does it not make a difference?
Yeah, I think definitely going through a year of the league, you know, because going in, I think when I talked to you guys earlier, you know, we hadn't, you know, really played any conference games, so I didn't really know a lot about the league and didn't know really where we stood, you know, in the league. And you know, we got picked to finish 11th. You know, we ended up finishing 9th with only 6 wins. And you can go back, you know, to the beginning of our season where we lose at Tulsa by 2. You know, that gives you 7 wins. We lose to Wichita State by 2. That gives you 8 wins. You know, we should have beat Houston at Houston, you know, and 2 or 3 other games there that, you know, we could have easily finished 4th or 5th, you know, with a roster depleted team. You know, so, yes, I'm extremely excited about next year and about the upcoming future. And, you know, teams will go into, you know, the conference tournament knowing that you legitimately have a chance to win the league. Whereas, you know, everybody this year is going in, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to compete the best I can and try to give UConn the best game I can to maybe up our chances to, you know, get a bid into the NCAA tournament or to, you know, better our chances, you know, into the WNIT or whatever it may be. But, you know, from here on out, like, everybody, you know, has a shot at winning the conference championship. And, you know, just knowing what we did this year in the league with a depleted roster, you know, excites me even more, you know, with what we got coming in next year and with the injured kids that will be playing for us next year.
Absolutely. And, Coach, as we wrap this up, how important is it and what can be done in terms of from you guys' standpoint and from the fan standpoint to get attendance up next year?
I'm so glad you guys brought that up. You know, I was disappointed, you know, in our attendance this year. You know, there were some games, guys, where it was literally I could hear myself think during a game. And, you know, I get it. You know, we have to do our part as a coaching staff and as a team to win more games. You know, nobody wants to come out and support a team that's not winning. But I do felt like, you know, there was, you know, maybe just 1 or 2 games where I didn't feel like we competed the way we needed to compete. But all the other home games, I still feel like we bring an exciting brand of basketball. And just what, you know, we're going to do for this, what we've done for this community, what we're going to continue to do for this community as far as getting out, you know, doing community service, doing speaking events, getting out at the elementary and middle schools and just, you know, being role models for all these, you know, young people that aspire to be, you know, not just basketball players, but just to be successful in life, you know. To have, you know, people sitting in the stands and kids sitting in the stands, you know, it's huge for our players. And it helps us in recruiting. I don't think people even realize how much it helps us in recruiting because it's hard for me to bring a recruit to a game where I know there's probably only going to be 100 people there. You know, recruits want to go somewhere where they're going to have a fan support and they're going to have a crowd. And so, you know, I'm hoping that what we did in February gave people a taste of who we're going to be, you know, times two, and that they'll want to come out and support and make Greenville, you know, a really, really, you know, great college town, college sports town. You know, I know men's basketball support was better this year. Baseball always gets support. We're trying to grow, you know, football, but I think we have some unbelievable head coaches and some unbelievable assistant coaches and athletes that are working their butts off. And, you know, to see people in the stands and supporting us, you know, means the world. You know, so we're going to meet some here this spring. I'm going to talk to some people and try to figure out what do we need to do differently from a marketing standpoint, try to change some things to try to increase that the attendance because I think our athletes fully deserve it.
How involved are the you know, you have the Midges Maniacs, a student group for men's basketball. How involved are they with women's basketball?
Not a lot. Not a lot at all. You know, I don't know if I've ever seen them at one of our games. So hopefully we can make some changes with that.
We know some people, and we'll deal with them. Maybe we can help with that.
We need to make Minji's a place where nobody wants to come and play. You know, and for men's basketball and for women's basketball, it is a huge home court advantage. You know, there are places, you know, where, you know, I've been in leagues where I'm like, I do not want to go there. Like, for example, when I was at Hartford and we used to have to go to Maine, I hated going to Maine. Our players hated going to Maine. They averaged about 4,000 people a night.
Wow.
And they were screaming and yelling because when you're in Bangor, Maine, there's nothing else to do but go, you know, to games. But their fans made it a huge home court advantage, you know, for them. And I, why not Minji's? Why not Greenville? Why can't we make our home courts, you know, an advantage for our athletes?
Yeah, and women's basketball can kind of be one of the things like men's baseball has been over the years, where if you want to be good in it and your fan base shows up and you invest in it, you kind of can be.
You can. And I fully believe in it. And if I didn't believe in it, I wouldn't have, you know, taken this job. I would have stayed at Hartford. But, you know, I fully believe that, you know, we can be successful here. You know, I think John Gilbert is going to be exceptional for us, not just for women's basketball, but for the athletic department as a whole. He has fully supported us. You know, he either texted me or called me after every game and continued to tell me, you know, that he believed in me, believed in my staff, believed in our athletes. And so, you know, our facilities, you know, are great facilities. The campus is gorgeous. You know, we can make Greenville, you know, into one of the, you know, the best, you know, college towns for athletics, you know, if we can get Pirate Nation behind us, you know, just a little bit more. And like I said, I know we play a role in that. We got to win more games, but we'll definitely do that.
And with the way Minji's is set up, it doesn't take many, like you unfortunately saw this year at the men's games, and when there were some games where there may only be 2,500 to 3,000 people actually in the stands, but it can get very loud. And if you can pack that lower bowl with 1,500 to 1,800 people, maybe a little more, it's going to make a tremendous difference.
It makes a world of difference. You know, our first game, the kids game that we had, you know, I think we had about 6,500, but that was an unbelievable atmosphere. You know, I think our next biggest game may have been UConn, you know, which is UConn is UConn, and there half the people there were probably for UConn, you know, but that first quarter when we played, you know, really, really good and the crowd got behind us, it just changes things. You know, the Temple game, you know, I wasn't, that was a game that I missed, but, you know, just talking to my coaching staff and talking to my team, you know, when they started to go on that run, you know, we got down by 18 or 19 points, you know, and then we started to go on that run and the crowd gets behind you and they start yelling you. It just brings a different type of energy and that adrenaline gets flowing. And, you know, if we can do that, my goal, you know, I think this year we may have averaged, you know, if you take out the kids game, we probably averaged maybe 500 or 600. You know, I think we can easily get to 1,200. And then up it, you know, 100 or 200, you know, every single year. You know, that's where I'd like to start.
Absolutely. It's been there in the past, and I definitely think it's going to happen. Well, Coach, you've been very generous with your time this morning. We certainly didn't intend to keep you this long, but we enjoyed the conversation. I know Pirate Nation will enjoy hearing it, and we look forward to having you back on the show down the road.
You guys, look, I'll do anything that needs to be done to help my program, you know, to help my student athletes be successful. And, you know, I want Pirate Nation to be able to feel like they are a part of this growth process, that they are a part of building, you know, this program. And, you know, any insight that I can give them, you know, I definitely will want to. And, I just want them to stay behind us and not get discouraged, you know, with this 9-win season, because we're growing. We got better in a lot of ways that unless you're around our program every day, you wouldn't, you know, be able to see it. We upped our GPA. You know, from an academic standpoint, we've made some changes. And so I'm proud and I'm happy with the direction that we're going.
We certainly wish you and the ladies the best, and we will have you on the show down the road. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. And stay safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you very much, Coach. Appreciate her very much. I'll tell you what, one of the positive things that I can say right now, guys, is that it makes you – I just want to get y'all's reaction, and that I mentioned to you beforehand. What are your thoughts? I'm so tickled to death with the way that our athletic program, but she's a perfect example of our new coach, women's coach, look through the hell that they went through last year, three different coaches, the hell they went through this year with injuries and all that, and she lost a couple relatives. And they, I know they didn't have the outcome they wanted, but if you look at it, the basketball program, men's and women's, are definitely headed in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, you know, I don't like the way we were playing the end of the, to the end of the season with the shame because we were heading in the right direction in men's basketball. The last couple games we did not play well. But hopefully next season we'll pick up from where we left off, you know, kind of the middle of the season, and do well non-conference, do enough in conference to make something like a CBI or maybe, who knows, an NIT. Women's basketball, I have no doubt, man. With the hand that Coach McNeil was dealt and the way those girls played at times this year, I wouldn't be surprised if we're pretty damn good next year in women's basketball.
Yeah.
You know, we've been good in the past. We've been to an NCAA. We've been to an NCAA tournament in recent history. We went to some WNITs.
Yeah,
Sharon Baldwin Center and Daisy has some WNITs. But I say we went to the NCAA in recent history. Good God Almighty, I guess that was way back in 06, 07 now. So I guess that's not really recent history anymore. But I think we can be really good in women's basketball. And I think McNeil thinks we can. And I think if you listen to that interview, I think she was a little surprised at how close we were already to being able to compete in this league. And particularly now that UConn's gone, who knows, next year maybe we'll be one of the, you know, five or so best teams in the league.
No doubt. Hey, Bubba, one of the things I know we wanted to talk about, what do you think about the I've been dying to talk to both of you on the podcast about, Bubba brought us to our attention a couple of days ago about what in the world is going on at Wichita State. Do you know, Bubba?
I don't know if it's some locker room issues or what, but five players have entered the transfer portal, most notably Eric Stevenson, a wing guy. He's a tremendous player, had a nice game against the Pirates this year. And then also Jamarius Burton, who's a North Carolina native. He is another one who's entering the portal or has entered the portal. He's a Charlotte native, Independence High School, and played on Team Loaded with Jaden Gardner. So, of course, rumors are already flying. Could East Carolina be a possible landing spot for him?
Yeah, I doubt it. I would bet you he wants to go play in the ACC. But it'd be nice if he'd come be a Pirate. You do have to wonder, five transfers at Wichita, you know, they had a nice season this year. I don't know what the frustration's about. I'd like to know, you know, that coach had that place rolling when they were in the Missouri Valley. You make me wonder if moving up was the right decision for them. No, they had a good year this year. It's a great question. Who knows?
And we talk about it all the time, and maybe we can get – Cy Seymour on this week and different basketball people, but I think it goes back, Kyle, to one of the things looking at is some of these guys looking at playing time, and some people, I mean, they're guys that get mad if, and maybe rightfully so, when they want to play all 40 minutes, but they have to do what's best. The program, the coach has to do what's best for the team, and sometimes guys get mad for just something silly as they're not playing. They're playing 32, 34 minutes. They want to play all 40. So, I mean, who knows? But that'll be really interesting. We'll keep an eye on that story. And I know there's a lot of other stories we can talk about, Bubba, right?
Yeah, one of the things I don't think we've discussed yet, we discussed it before we started recording, and that's what some of the front office people and then also professional athletes are doing to provide relief for those who are doing without work right now as a result of these suspensions of the professional leagues. You've had the likes of Rudy Gobert, who I guess was the first one diagnosed with the coronavirus in the NBA and with the Utah Jazz, and he has donated $500,000 to a variety of causes, and one of those was, of course, the arena workers there at the Jazz facility.
The first person I heard was – Kevin Love with the Cavaliers donated $100,000. Zion Williamson for the Pelicans workers. I know that Mark Cuban is going to keep paying the workers there at the Mavericks. So there's a lot of great. I know the
Arthur Blank with the Atlanta Falcons.
What's his last name? Yes.
Blank.
What's his last name, though?
Oh, I went over my head. Yeah. So anyway, moving around.
Jeez, guys, come on.
No, I got it. I was just playing.
You got it. Okay. All right. Well, good.
Blank.
Arthur Blank.
Yeah, I went blank there on what you were talking about. But anyway, I'm happy to see that, and I'm hoping that we'll see more. By the way, guys, speaking of this is really cool, non-sports related, but along those lines, Disney closed Disneyland and Disney World, and I know for a fact Disney's come out, and they're going to pay their workers during this time. So great move by Disney, thumbs up for them, and hopefully more companies can and will do that. Some of the companies are small. I worry about our small businesses, but certainly travel and tourism is an industry. The concert industry, as far as any music, live entertainment kind of thing, I'm worried about that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff's going to be rescheduled. It has been rescheduled, and you got to, you know. Like I mentioned before, I was supposed to go see Cody Jenks on the 20th next Friday. It's been rescheduled for June. I would imagine there's a lot of that. You know, Dave, it's funny you talk about that. We have concert tickets for several concerts, and I was potentially looking into getting tickets for Brooks and Dunn with Travis Tritt for a little 90s throwback concert at Walnut Creek in Raleigh. It's supposed to be May 28th or 26th, something like that. And I went to look to see Friday. They went on sale Friday. I was wondering how they sold. And there's a lot of tickets left, but, you know, I'm not convinced it's because of the coronavirus and maybe the damn ticket prices.
The ticket price
started at $550, and the cheapest seat I saw was $70-some dollars. I mean, I have no problem with the most expensive seat being, say, $250, and I have no problem with the cheapest seat being $40. With the most expensive ticket, $500 or something, and the cheapest seat is $70. Now, I didn't go to the lawn because I don't sit on the lawn. But the cheapest seat you can get, now, that's not true. They did have a small, you know, at Walnut Creek, the back aisles of the seating area that's right before you get to the lawn, the very last few aisles were $58. And that's probably the same price as the lawn seat. But, I mean, ticket prices, that's something to do with coronavirus, but ticket prices for concerts, in some cases, are just outrageous.
The problem we have is that we have a situation where you've got a lot of bands that, and no offense to them, because I'm a huge fan of them, there's a lot of bands living off their name, meaning they haven't had hits in many years.
Well, Brooks and Dunn quit touring, dude. I mean, they quit touring, so it's not like they just quit having hits. I mean,
that's not who I'm talking about. There's other ones if you want me to start naming them.
Sure.
The Doobie Brothers come to mind. I looked at their tickets in June. They're outrageous. It's their 50th tour, anniversary tour. You know, there's a lot of bands that are great that I love, but they haven't had hits in years, and it's called living off their name. And because they are great, we're not saying that. But
those
tickets are $250. I mean, they're like expensive tickets, and you're wondering.
Is there a cheap option?
I didn't see the lawn. I know I looked at the reserve seats, but I have to look at to be fair to them. But that's one of the things I was already concerned about. There's some great stadium shows, heavy metal shows, like with the one with Joan Jett, and there's Poison, and there's who else? Motley Crue, and there's one more I'm missing in there. Def Leppard at Bank of America, where the Panthers play. Those prices were through the nose. You know, and I think the scary thing is I think they sold out. But anyway.
If we're going to talk ticket prizes, let me give a shout out to, I got tickets to see Jamie Johnson and Whiskey Myers together at Red Hat in Raleigh.
Yeah.
I got really decent seats for $35 a ticket.
Wow, that's a great deal. Those two are, and those two are fantastic.
So, yeah, they're hot. They're hot if you're in the outlaw country. Southern rock sounds like Whiskey Myers and Jamie Johnson's just badass. So, yeah, that's in May. Hopefully that goes on as scheduled. While we're talking about ticket prices, I'll give a shout out to PNC Arena and to one of the most popular artists out there right now, Luke Combs. Yeah, there was some very expensive tickets to see Luke Combs, but there was also $40 tickets, which is what I got my wife because she wanted to see him.
Yeah, that's
so that and I know we talked about that concert last night, Kyle. So that is it PNC Arena? It's not outdoors.
Correct, it's a PNC.
I misunderstood you.
Yeah, you know, yes, at PNC, and I may have misspoken. I could have said it was at whatever the hell Walnut Creek is called now.
Credit.
Yeah, they change their name every 5 seconds. Coastal Credit Union, sponsor. But yeah, it's at PNC. And Bubba, what you may have done is actually just misinterpreted what I said, because I believe the name of the amphitheater in Charlotte is PNC, but it's an amphitheater. So when I said PNC, your brain might have thought PNC amphitheater
in Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
No doubt. And it'll be interesting to see about, you know, concert tickets are outrageous. But, you know, it may be one of the good things that does come out
of
coronavirus.
Bring them down.
the ticket price is coming down. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but, like, for example, you know, they used to have a decent price for a lone seat. They'd have a little bit of expensive price for the, you know, gold circle seat.
Yeah, yeah.
The orchestra seats were through the nose, but you know that's to be expected. They had like three different price levels.
But you know what, like, Dave? What I'd like to see done for the because I saw this option for the Brooks and Dunn Travis Tritt. I saw this option on some of the bid level reserve seats. The first couple of aisles for Brooks and Dunn Travis Tritt were, like I said, and it is Brooks and Dunn's first tour in like 10 years. But the first couple of aisles were like $500 a ticket, and it was like a VIP package. Well, why not have an option where VIP package, non-VIP package for those seats? If you want to get those same seats, front row, second row, third row, for $150 without the VIP package, and then if you want to get the VIP package, let it be an option.
You read my mind.
Yes.
So, you read my mind. That's what I was going to say. Is they used to do that. They used to give you that option. But I think what it is now is that my gut feeling is nobody was buying those.
Yep.
So the only way that you can sell those things now is to incorporate the seat with it. They don't give you either or. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm not anti, obviously, the live entertainment, but the prices have gotten such, if you think about it, too, take a, like with Bubba or me, if you have a family, you start trying to buy tickets for your kids or whatever.
Oh, yeah. If two people wanted to front row for Brooks and Dunn, that's $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I may end up getting tickets for Brooks and Dunn, but it'll be the $78 tickets or something like that, which is, I guess, okay. But to me, if I'm paying $78, I expect it to be a pretty decent seat, not towards the back. But it won't be. It'll be towards the back, not the lawn, but towards the back. Right now, guys, I guess we should just be happy if they have the damn concerts.
Yeah, good point. And maybe they'll see that what it's like, the surreal factor of that you can't sell seats because you can't have the concert. Or when people – my next fear, I'll put it out there because it just came to me, is people are scared to go to sporting events, any kind of live events because of this happening in the future. I hope that's not the case.
That might be why they don't, maybe, you know, that's why you can make the argument maybe they shouldn't start it back. You know, if things are improving in a month, maybe they shouldn't start it back right away. Maybe they should give it a little bit of a grace period. I don't know. You would think, hopefully. I'll tell you what me and Bubba were discussing yesterday. If by football season things are still being delayed or canceled, we're going to have bigger concerns than football, because that means this thing has been devastating. So I heard several people say, well, hope to God they play ECU football. Let me tell you something. If we're not playing football in August, that's going to be the least of our concerns.
Absolutely. Kind of along those lines, and I know this is kind of getting off on a tangent as far as the ticket prices are concerned, and I guess maybe this is what the Charlotte Sports Foundation was attempting to address with their early season matchup next year in 2021. With the likes of Georgia and Clemson, two programs that have been vying for playoff bids in recent years. But, you've had the likes of South Carolina and North Carolina playing in that game, and you still only had, 50,000 tickets being sold. And something's telling you right there. I mean, the ticket prices for that first week matchup have been just simply outrageous.
Yeah, ticket prices have across the board, you talk about that. ECU football ticket prices have gone up, and that's okay. They haven't gone ridiculous with them. But football prices or sports games prices, with the exception maybe of baseball, have gone up and up and up every year, just like concerts. And wrestling, oh, my God. I can tell you right now, in 2013 or 2012, whenever it was, I saw WWE had very first row at Williams Arena, and I think me and Jessica's tickets with processing fees was like $90-some for front row, like $90. And then the last time WWE came to Williams Arena, I think for front row it was like $110, and that was before processing. So, everything just keeps going up.
With those, yes, those are two what have been mediocre programs in the last few years, South Carolina and North Carolina. But when you're asking the prices they were asking, and when you have two schools like that that have large alumni bases in that proximity, and they're only a couple hours from their campus, and then you still have 20 to 25,000 empty seats, so something's not right. I can't believe they haven't lowered the prices, huh?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess they don't care, Bubba. If they're charging that much for tickets, they're making their money if they sell 50,000.
Right. Yeah.
So they don't care about those 25,000 empty seats.
Well, but wouldn't it be smart to have a lower ticket, a lower price ticket where you could have people would pay through the nose on some, but some of the, Panthers game I went to in 2008, that's the closest probably I'll ever be to heaven. that was probably like five or six rows on the top, and that is way up there.
Yeah.
For that price point, they should have a decent, in other words, when you get to the lower levels, you understand why they're going to charge more, but when you get up way up in the nosebleed, so to speak, that's where I've noticed the prices have gone up. And then like you talked about, Kyle, they've gone up not only on their nosebleeds have gone up, but then when you look at those front row seats are just astronomical. I don't know. The problem you run into is you got a lot of people that they're not going to many concerts anymore because they can't afford them to begin with. And then when you add the...
Well, I don't know about that, Dave. I see concert tickets still selling pretty well. But, I do wonder who it is that is buying these $200-$400 tickets. I don't know. I think the most I'd go for a concert ticket, if I have the extra cash, for certain people, I may pay as much as $150 a ticket, but that's about it. And it would have to be one of the first two or three rows.
No doubt. Do you guys have anything before we go?
Nothing I can think of.
No, just, as far as with the coronavirus, everybody, stay safe. Use common sense, social distancing, as they're calling it. Wash your freaking hands. You should be doing that anyway. Quit panicking and buying every damn thing. Hopefully some of these stores, Dave, we talked about it off the air, will start limiting products that you can buy instead of letting people buy all the toilet paper and hand sanitizer they want. That way there'll be some for everybody. And listen to what people are saying. Listen to the government. Pay attention to what the government's saying, and be smart about things, and I guess that's pretty much it.
And by the way, guys, before we actually have something we're going to start. We're actually going to start opening up toilet paper factories around the nation here, and the money we've made on the sports objective, we're going to put that back in the community. So we're going to try to keep up with mass production, three shifts a day, right, guys?
Yeah, all that money we've made, zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
but I did think of a couple of things. You talking about the nosebleed seats at Bank of America Stadium, Dave, and it reminded me of, I guess it's probably 10 years ago now. My dad and I were at a game there, and it was pretty funny. I saw people a row or two in front of us were getting back to their seats, and so that's what, you know, they had been down to get a beer or some wine, and they were just absolutely gassed after making that climb back to their seats like they had run a half marathon. And so my dad was saying, hey, man, you look like you could use some oxygen, like just cutting up. He pronounces it oxygen-y, but they were so exhausted they didn't even think anything of it. They just nodded their head in agreement. It was pretty funny. And then also I was glad to hear John Gilbert say something that we had discussed on the podcast as far as giving Pirate Club members or season ticket holders an option of transferring those funds to the Pirate Club if they so choose.
Yeah, I'll say he got that
if
under
they chose.
But that's a great idea. I think, you look, unless you are in financial despair, let ECU keep that money, transfer it to the Pirate Club, and going about your day. Now, if you need the money back, give the money back. Otherwise, transfer it over to the Pirate Club.
And I have a feeling that we're not going to – they're going to wait until the summertime before you could even – maybe May or so before you even talk to those lines, because you want to keep as much money as you can. And I'm hoping that, like you said, Kyle, I'm not – I can go ahead and say right now I'm not taking the money back for my – I have four season tickets for baseball. I'm not going to take the money back because I want the money to stay in the program.
Well, that's good. Dave, glad to hear that. I don't have any season tickets for baseball, so I have no money to get back. Bubba, I'm sure your dad will do the same.
My dad and I will do the same thing, and I'm sure a lot of folks will. But that's one of those things. Obviously, they had to offer the money back, and it wouldn't be right if they didn't. But I think a lot of folks will make the same decision that we are.
I've seen people post on Wing Our Banner that they wanted their money back. I think they're angry. Some people are angry and they direct their anger at the wrong people. You know, Dave has kind of been angry at times about this, but he East Carolina really didn't have a say in this. This is being mandated by the conference and by the NCAA. So if you're angry that it happened and you're taking it out on East Carolina, which you profess to love, but you want your money back out of anger, you're a stupid asshole.
And no, I don't. Yeah, I'm not in that category, but maybe on other topics, but not on this particular one. So, all right, guys, thank you so much as always. Thanks to Coach McNeil, and we hope to, by the way, folks, we're going to continue, as we said, this podcast throughout the hiatus, however long ECU, if this is until August or whenever. We can promise you that we're going to have more shows where we're business as usual. We're going to stay open, no drive-thrus for us. We're going to be everywhere as usual, and you can listen to us everywhere that you can listen to a podcast, all over social media. Thanks, Coach Neil. Thanks to Bubba and Kyle. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.